Jayaranamadhava Kunda Bihari. Madhava Kunabi Haruvi Gopi Jana Palaba Giri Vada Haruvi Gopi Jana Malapa Kiri Varuna Rude Sudanan Jana Raja Jana Nandana So the Nana Yamona Teva Vanachalke Jai Hurad Madhuva Kunjami Bhavri Hurad Madhuva Kunjami Bhavri Gopi Dana Palapa Girivarunale Asunanan Janna Raja Janaranda Asunanan Janna Raja Janaranda Unashira Panachare Paramahansa 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 Paramahansa
grace. Abhaya Chalana Vatrapadana Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananda Gauti Vaishnav Vrindavan Namacharya Shilahuila Stakur Ki Jai. Param Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Govagavata Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan ki jai. Maturidam ki jai, Deganavasami ki jai. Yamunamai ki jai, Shimani Dalasi Devi ki jai. Samamena Bhakta, Vrinda ki jai, go. Oh, glorious to the assembled devotees. Oh, glorious the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru in Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we are reading today from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 16th Chapter, Text 44. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namaha Pramana Mulaya Kavaye Shastra Yanaye Pravrittaya Nivrittaya Nigamaya Namo Namaha Nama Pramana Mulaya Kavaye Shastra Yonike Pravrittaya Nivrittaya Nigamaya Namo Namaha Nama Pramana Mulaya Kavaye Shastra Yonike Vrittaya Vrittaya Nidamaya Namo Namaha Nama Pramana Mulaya Kaliye Shastra Yonaihe Vrittaya Vrittaya Nigamaya Namo Namaha. Okay. Pramana Mulaya. Pramana Mulaya. Namaya Namaha Namaha
Nama Pramana Mulaya
Pramana Mulaya
Kavaye Shastra Yonaye
Kavaye Shastra Yonaye
Navrittaya Nivrittaya
Navrittaya Nivrittaya
Nigamaya Namo Namaha
Nigamaya Namo Namaha.
No one else? All right. Namaha. Obeisances. Pramana. Of authoritative evidence. Mulaya. To the basis. Kavaye. To the author. Shastra of the revealed scripture. Yonaye to the source. Pravrittaya which encourages sense gratification. Nivrittaya which encourages renunciation. Nigamaya to him who is the origin of both, kinds of scriptures. Namaha, namaha. Repeated obeisances. Translation, we offer our obeisances again and again to you for the basis of all authoritative evidence, for the author and ultimate source of the revealed scriptures, and who have manifested yourself in those Vedic literatures, encouraging sense gratification as well as in those encouraging renunciation of the material world. You can repeat. We offer our obeisances again and again.
We offer our obeisances again and again.
To you.
To you.
Who are the basis of all authoritative evidence.
Who are the basis of all authoritative evidence.
Who are the author and ultimate source.
Who are the ultimate source.
Of the revealed scriptures.
Of the revealed scriptures.
And who have manifested yourself.
And who have manifested yourself.
In those Vedic literatures.
In those Vedic literatures.
Encouraging sense gratification,
and
as well as in those,
as well as in those
encouraging renunciation,
renunciation
of the material world.
Of the
material world. So, purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. If we did not have the powers of perception and cognition, evidence could not be transmitted, and if we had no tendency to believe in particular modes of evidence, persuasion could not take place. All of these processes, perception, cognition, persuasion, and transmission, take place through the various potencies of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord Krishna is himself the greatest scholar and intellectual being. He manifests the transcendental scriptures within the hearts of great devotees like Brahma and Narada. And in addition, he incarnates as Vyasa, Veda Vyasa, the compiler of all Vedic knowledge. In multifarious ways, the Lord generates a variety of religious scriptures which gradually bring the conditioned souls through the various phases of re-entry into the kingdom of God. So, we'll read the commentaries by the Acharyas very quickly. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, we pay my respects to the root proof, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Tamil scriptural proof, Mula Pramana, and to Vedavyasa's its composer, Kavaye. The meaning is in the form of Vyasa himself. We pay respects to you who reveal Yoni, the scriptures, Shastra, Shastra Yoni Thvat, Vedanta Sutra shows this usage. We pay my respects under the scriptures propounding artha, dharma, kama, and moksha, pravritti and nivritti, and unto you the root nigama of both. And Jiva Goswami says, you are the cause and shelter of proofs, the Vedas, the essence of scriptures concerning Bhagavan. You are self-manifesting knowledge, Kavaye. You are proved through scriptures. Shastra Yoni, it is said, Shastra Yoni thought, the knowledge of the Lord is produced from scripture. That's from the Brahma Sutra 113. You are the scriptures promoting enjoyment and renunciation, and you are indeed the source of both of these. Therefore, we offer our respects. And finally, Sanatana Goswami says, you are the cause or shelter of proofs, the Vedas, the essence of scriptures concerning Bhagavan. You are the author of scripture our self-manifesting knowledge, Kaviya. You are the shelter of its meaning, Shashi Yonaye. You are the scriptures promoting enjoyment and renunciation, and you are Enigma scriptures, which are your order of indicating proper conduct. Because you have these astonishing forms, we offer respects. And then again, going back to the Sanskrit of the verse. Nama Pramana Mulaya Kavaye Ashastra Yonige Pavitaya Nivritaya Nigamaya Namo Namaha. The Omaganat in the Vandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Vinitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurvaya Namaha. So there's many different topics here, and perhaps to me the most important is something called epistemology, which is connected with pramana, what is evidence. But first we'll talk about why the Lord presents the Nivritti Marg and Pravritti Marg, which is mentioned here in this particular Sanskrit, Pravittaya, Nivrittaya. Pravittaya means the path. Marg, of course, means path. The path of enjoyment. Sometimes before joining the movement in the 1960s, devotees would even, not before they became devotees, sorry, they would even read the Kama Sutras. That means the sutras. Sutra means like a very short, pithy statement based upon lust. Just like someone right now is associating with a young girl. He said to me the other day, he says, yes, this is Madhurya Ras. Anyway, it's funny. So Pravritti Marg includes things like that, you know, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Dharma means being dharmic, you know, being lusty in a dharmic way, actually. Means following the rules and regulations, not doing vikarma, but karma. Sometimes the devotees use the term of karmi, referring to everybody who is not in the Krishna conscious movement. Not exactly true. Many people are vikarmis. Karmis are those who follow the injunctions of the Vedic literatures. That's dharma. Then artha means economic development, because without economic development, how do you enjoy without money? Like Prabhupada said one time, several times, very funny way, money is the honey. Because with money, you can basically get so much, like you see so many rich men, they marry girls that are much younger than them, even though the men look like hell and the women look like, you know, models or whatever. So that's artha. And then after that, you got good old kama. Kama means enjoyment. Not only enjoyment of the sex life, which is generally what you talk about with kama, lust, but enjoyment of anything in this world, the senses with their sense objects, or the even the subtle senses with their sense objects. So like many years ago, we had some devotee, I mean, is that, well, you know, even I'm subject to it sometimes, just like the desire to enjoy acquiring knowledge for knowledge's sake. You know, I get into it sometimes. It's just like, wow, it's so interesting. This is so interesting. This is so interesting. But how is it connected to Krishna? In other words, we have to connect it to Krishna. Otherwise, it's kama. And then finally, when you get frustrated with all these things, you just, moksha, let me get out of this world. You know, it's raining too much. Coronavirus. Nobody loves me. Like that. All they want is my money. You know, like someone's, he's very rich. Everyone's looking at him to get money. In fact, there was one rich man in the United States is becoming so rich, predicted by 2025, 2026, he's going to be first trillionaire. And people are like hating him already because he's going to become the first trillionaire. So anyway, moksha. So these are the purusharthas, the four purusharthas. And so, of course, we understand there's the fifth purusharta, which is Krishna consciousness, prema. So why do the scriptures prescribe different ways that people can acquire wealth, that people can enjoy their senses, that people can be religious, and people can get moksha from the material world? The reason is because people have different desires. The scriptures are basically trying to get people to the point of admitting there's God. Because in all these different scriptural injunctions, we're talking about the Vedic injunctions, at least there's Om, Krishna. You know, Om is actually a manifestation of Krishna. So in other words, at least they're admitting there's a superior power. Even if they're doing, let's say, sacrifices to Indra, which are primarily in the Rig Veda, they're basically admitting there's a higher power. There's a higher power. And so it's a step. You know, sometimes people just have to go step by step. Oh, nam jananaman te yadavamam prapajate vasudeva savamiti sa mahatma sudrilava, after many, many births and deaths. So this is generally the process. So that's the Pravritti Marg. And then the Nivritti Marg. So there's a purpose. In other words, that's why Krishna has it. Because not everybody's going to be interested in just like shave your head and join the Hare Krishna movement. We've been having this discussion with Adi Purush recently. Like, what is the focus of our preaching? Are we just trying to, you know, just like engage people so they get a little bit Gyatra Sukriti? Are we trying to make full, you know, full-on devotees of the Lord who are just going to be dedicated to the mission? You know, what are we trying to do? And of course, my answer to him is basically, yeah, we have to be focused. My focus is trying to make full-on devotees of the Lord. And then automatically, people will get some association in the process of when we're reaching out to people. But if we actually spread ourselves too thin, like Prabhupada talked one time about boiling the milk, you know, when devotees were just like bringing people in just because, you know, they had warm bodies. You know, there was one Bhakta handbook that says, you know, every time you get someone to stay overnight in the temple, you get a certain amount of Bhakta points. You remember that?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that was, anyway, it was Dhanavir Maharaj who had this Bhakta handbook. You get Bhakta points, you know, just like the Sankirtan newsletter, you how many points you get for this type of book, how many points you get for that type of book. You know, and for a set of Bhagavatams, you get a special amount of points. So you get amount of points for actually getting someone to spend the night at the temple. And said, if you have to do it, take out the spark plug wires from their car. So that way you'll get the points and the person will spend the night at the temple. I mean, I don't think we need to spread the net out that much. My feeling is that we actually concentrate on those who can actually become like soldiers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At this point in our movement, I mean, I think it's necessary, then automatically everybody else gets some association. I mean, that's my understanding. And anyway, if we spread things out too thin, we don't accomplish anything. So we boil, you know, boiling the milk is really important. Of course, those who are in the temple, they should be interested in boiling the milk, which means very, very strict in the sadhana. Like described by the six Goswamis of Vrindavan there. Sadhana was like lines on the stone. So anyway, so here you have the pravritti mark and the nivritti mark. Pravrittaya, nivrittaya, which I can see without my glasses pretty well, but basically I should use them. How do we know what is the goal of the Vedic literatures? You know, what's the whole purpose of all this pravritti, nivritti stuff? And of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, it describes Vedais Chasabe Rahami Vedya, by all the Vedas I am to be known. So how do you know Krishna? By reading all the Vedas, because it's also stated in the Brahma Samhita, Vedeshu Durlabham Durlabham Atma Bhakta. It's very difficult to understand what is Krishna simply by reading the Vedas. And also, you have other statements, what is that? The Mahabharata. Tarko Pratishta Shrutina Vibina. This is interesting. Vibina means, Shruti Vibina means the Vedas are so multi-branched, dealing with all these things like Pravritti Marg and Nivritti Marg, and all the different injunctions for different circumstances. I mean, it's an amazing amount of injunctions, rituals, and everything like that. It's hard to understand. I mean, even sometimes in our Krishna conscious movement, we got all these different like procedures and rituals. You know, what's the purpose of it? And if of course, I've mentioned many times before, that's Nimagraha. If one accepts so many rituals and actually forgets the purpose, then it deviates one's from Krishna consciousness. I often give the example. When I do arti, I don't count how many circles around how many circles, because that would actually keep me from remembering I'm offering to Krishna. Whereas other people can do it. Other people may have the brain that they can accommodate or think of both things at the same time, multitask. For me, either I do mathematics or Krishna consciousness. I don't have a choice with my brain. You know, whatever. So anyway, Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Adabhakta. So how does one understand what is the purpose of the Vedic literature? Well, actually, Tadvedi Pranikvateni Panikvashani Nasebhya is very easy. Krishna also mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita. One has to approach an acharya, approach a guru, to understand the purpose and how to apply the purposes. So even, here's an interesting point, because here we're talking about pramana in this verse, pramana, evidence. So even in approaching the Vedic literatures and spiritual master, one has to understand the principles of pramana, That is what constitutes evidence. And I'm going to go through a little technical stuff here. In the Vedic culture, there's actually six types of evidence that are considered. Prabhupada only talked about three, because the Vaishnavas only talk about three types of evidence, and Jiva Goswami only talks about three types. So here's the six types that are mentioned. Don't get confused. I will explain them. First type of evidence is pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means what? Direct experience. And of course, as we know, if we've read the Isopanishad, we are conditioned souls, and guess what? We have imperfect senses. And we have a tendency to cheat, right? And an illusion, like that. So this pratyaksha is definitely imperfect way of understanding things. And the second one given in the Vedic, this is Vedic, not some of these Prabhupada talks about too. Second one is called anumana, or inference. Inference means, Prabhupada, I was listening to a class, Prabhupada was talking about this morning, that how do we know everyone dies? You know, we've seen my father died, practically everybody I've met has died, fine. And I come to the conclusion that therefore everyone dies, but that's not a perfect method of coming to the conclusion, because there may be someone who doesn't die. And I would have to see every single person, every single part of the creation to come to that conclusion, which would be impossible. That would make me God. And that's actually the fallacy of many atheists too, that some of the atheists, they say, no one has seen God. So that just means they haven't seen God, or maybe they haven't met anyone who has seen God. But for them to make that statement of no one has seen God and actually be absolutely sure of it, they would have to be God. In other words, they'd have to be omniscient, right? If they're not omniscient, how can they make that? You know, how can we say that that statement is a perfect statement? So anuman, that's called inference, coming to conclusions, scientists do this. In the scientific presentation I did about life comes from life, I presented this as the general, part of the general scientific method. That they make some inferences, like based upon, but the inferences are based upon assumptions. Actually, I was also listening to Prabhupada talking about this too, about the different laws of nature. Let's say, you know, on the earth, there's certain things that we have observed in the laws of nature. So we assume that those same laws pertain to other parts of the universe. We don't know. We just naturally assume that's assumption. And then the next type of Vedic evidence is called analogy. You know, and we use it not as evidence, but we use it to actually illustrate a point. An example is what? The sunshine, right? The sun globe and the sun deity, right? Those are three types. Those are three things. So that's analogy. Doesn't prove anything. Doesn't prove anything. Actually, Krishna uses it to a certain extent in the Gita too. Yeah, when Dehino Smenyata Dehe Komaram Yoanam Jara, Tata Dehanturis Praptius Tachinamuyati, that you see people changing their bodies in this lifetime. So therefore, then they must change the bodies at the time of death. Well, Krishna makes it as an absolute statement. Of course, that's a descending process from Krishna. But it's also, he's using analogy there. So that's another method of proof. A Prabhupada really doesn't speak about that because it's not really a method of proof. It's simply a method of helping us understand things. Then there's a derivation from circumstances, which is actually a type of inference. And that's called artapati. And then the next one is non-perception or negative cognitive proof. In other words, I have not seen God. It's also can be connected to anuman too. So that's why Prabhupada only dealt with three. That's called anulabdhi, And the one that Prabhupada and Jiva Goswami and practically every intelligent person has accepted is Shabda. That's the last one, the last type of evidence. But it's interesting. I just did a little bit of study on this. Charvaka Muni, who's our famous materialist, who said, what? Beg, borrow, steal, get yourself some ghee. He's like an Epicurean, an Indian Epicurean. Epicurean comes from Epicurus. He said, perception only, prachaksha is the only method of receiving knowledge. That's interesting. Even the scientists wouldn't say that. The scientists would say, you know, anuman, perception and anuman are actually methods. And also, actually, talking about perception, the scientists talk about two types of perception. And actually, the Vedas talk about two types of perception. One is the gross perception and then the subtle perception. I'm not going to get into that. And the Buddhists only accept perception and inference as inference means anuman. As a method, that's like scientific. That's why you see many Buddhists. Many scientists. They're actually interested in Buddhism because it's very much connected to the same epistemology of Buddhism. And the Jains accept perception, inference, and shabda. And the Mimamsa people and the Advaita accept all six. But as I showed before. That they all these six can be whittled down to three, which Prabhupada and Jiva Goswami talk about, which is prachaksha, anuman, and shabda. You understand? I really believe there's only three, if we understand it. So, and of course, shabda is the perfect method of understanding knowledge. And there's another description, too, which I found quite interesting about receiving information. There's when you receive information, there's pratyaksha information. Pratyaksha is sensory information. This is not pramana specifically, this is just the information you receive. That's called paroksha information, which is indirect information describing aparoksha, which is theoretical information, and hoksaja, which is direct realized knowledge. So aparoksha is theoretical knowledge, spiritual knowledge. And finally, there's aprakrita, which is perfect spiritual knowledge, which one realizes, or not only realizes, but understands one's nature and has spiritual realization. Anyway, so this is one of the things I wanted to talk about. And then, boy, I'm trying to fill classic with a lot of things today, but going a little quickly. So, in this light, in understanding even Shabda, one has to understand something called hermeneutics. And by the mercy of the Shastric Advisory Committee, headed up by Mother Irmila, we're going to describe hermeneutics very quickly, 10 minutes or less. Vaishnava hermeneutics. So hermeneutics means, for us, it means how to understand Guru Shastra, the Sadhu. Because that's the Shabda, Pramana, or the evidence. And so there's three ways, or three types of discussions that one can have about Guru Shastra and Sadhu. Only one is actually the type we should have. Vada means that both parties sit down and they talk with each other peacefully without engaging in ad hominem attacks and try to come to a conclusion. There's jalpa, in which both parties are just arguing with each other because they're just trying to prove their points and they're not interested in the truth. And then vitanga, in which one is just abusing the other person, you know, just trying to torture the other person with argumentation. And you see that, that's quite often. So, we have a handy dandy bookmark, which this is actually designed by Irma, which is actually very nice. And then there's the process. Once we engage in the proper process, which is in the vada of discussion, you know, with the idea of understanding the truth, being ready, not being attached to your particular concept of understanding or interpretation, then you get to the point of seeing if you're qualified to do engage in this. In other words, in Krishna consciousness, one must have good sadhana. I'll come to a conclusion, don't worry. One must have good sadhana to be engaged in discussion on hermeneutics. If one doesn't have good sadhana, then one will not have the realization. So that's the first point. And then the second point is to understand the principles of hermeneutics. After principles comes tools. And here's some of the principles of Vaishnava hermeneutics. There's a lot of them. There's actually, they have 24 listed here. And I'm not going to go through all 24, but just understanding the Siddhanta, basically. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and accepting like Dashamula or a statement of Siddhanta. And also accepting that Shabda is the higher source of Pramana. Understanding different hierarchies and different texts that we talked about is Pravritti Marg and Nivritti Marg, what is of a higher priority. Accepting that all the scriptures are consistent. I mean, these are principles that one must accept before engaging in Vaishnava hermeneutics. Having some realization, understanding the highest truth is for everyone's benefit. I'm just skipping through. Understanding parampara, having accepted a guru, education in shastra. Yeah, I mean, these are all different principles, bedrock principles that enable one to engage in this study of hermeneutics or the analysis that hermeneutics does. And then once you, all right, we get three things, two things so far. One is you have to have good sadhana, you have to understand the principles of hermeneutics. You can't just say, you know, that it makes sense to me. It has to be based on these principles. And then you have tools after that. I'm sure Mother Irma will be proud of me for doing this too. So then you have tools, hermeneutical tools. You know, like here are some of the tools. One, how does it point towards Krishna, which is the goal? You know, you examine a particular statement. You know, there may be a controversial statement. Does it point towards Krishna? Does it not point towards Krishna? Understanding it through with that tool. Understanding whether it should be a direct meaning or an indirect meaning. Srila Jiva Goswami gives that point when in his Tattva Sandarbha, that sometimes we may say, go to the house on the river or house on the lake. Now, obviously, you take the indirect meaning. You know, sometimes, I mean, I'll give you an example in the Shastra itself. Let's say you have Tichaketu, who has 10 million wives, right? So how do you analyze that statement? I mean, there can be a discussion on that. Is it hyperbole? Because sometimes, you know, you have to examine it also in the light of common sense. 10 million wives. That's, where's the population of North Carolina?
It's the population of North Carolina.
Okay, it's population of North Carolina. I mean, you got to be really enthusiastic to do something like that. So I'm not taking a position on it right now. I'm just saying you've got to examine through, you know, logic and common sense. That's a tool. And sometimes the Vedic description will be an analogy, you know, metaphor. And sometimes it will be hyperbole, which means, you know, it's so, like you say, this dome is so tall, like touches the clouds. That's hyperbole. It's just showing it's tall. You know, he's as tall as a mountain. So you really need to see the direct and indirect meanings. And it even says some statements in Shastra are intentionally delusive or obscure, you know, because it's protecting a higher truth, perhaps. you know, and identifying the genre, which means is something a philosophical point or is it very poetic? Because many parts of Shastra are poetic rather than directly philosophical. Of course, they weren't deep. And then also examining in terms of the 10 topics of Bhagavatam, understanding what's called nested narratives. Nested narratives means someone is speaking to someone else, relating a conversation that someone else would be speaking to someone else, and that someone else was speaking to someone else is relating a conversation that someone else is speaking. You understand? It's called a nested narrative. Which text has a higher level of authority? Madhvacharya actually gave a hierarchy of shastras, and he didn't consider the Mahabharata to be very high on the hierarchy. He actually said the Mahabharata has actually been contaminated throughout the years, you know, from different. So, and we accept the Bhagavatam is the highest, according to Jiva Goswami, and according to the purports we just read too. The Bhagavatam is considered the highest authority. And we also give different levels of authority to certain commentators, you know, to commentators based upon whether they're part of our sampradaya or not. I mean, just like, for example, oh my God.
Wait, you're talking about the project, you're thinking about the
I was glorifying you. So, oh my God, my teacher is gone. Hope you can grade me properly.
Would you like us to do the first test of the course here and you go look at?
Yeah, it would be nice. And then, you know, reference Siddhanta. I mean, there's so many tools here. Even, I'm sure there's more than, I know there's more than this. Here there's like 40 tools listed. Understanding one's own cultural and individual perspectives is another tool. Wow. You know, because I have a certain, because I've been brought up in a certain culture, I look at things in a certain way. You know, that, like, you know, this whole thing about, you know, equality between men and women. You know, I look at things in a certain way because of the culture I've been brought up in. You know, so I have to understand my biases so that I can analyze Shastra. You know, otherwise my biases are coloring my understanding of Shastra. And one has to engage in repeated study in personal. And another one is, another tool is to choose the most merciful meaning. Wow, that's pretty wonderful, isn't it? Because, hey, Krishna, Karana, Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopikakanta, Radhakanta, Namostute. I mean, Krishna is like the most merciful. Radharani is merciful. So the whole point of Shastra is to bring people to Krishna. It's mercy. It's compassion. So you have to see through that lens also. Am I right? Thank you. You give me an A for this class. Oh my God, I'm scared. So, and also consider, because we're connected with Prabhupada, how Prabhupada applied his statements in his mission. In other words, how that's connected to time, place, and circumstance when Prabhupada was enacting his mission. Anyway, these are some of the things, and I'm sure Mother Emily would be happy to send devotees copies of these things, or even do a course in these things. This was a presentation that she and her associates did to the for the GBC, and hopefully they can do a longer presentation, because it's actually one of the most important subject matters. Like, how do you know what you know, basically? Or what do you believe in? And, you know, devotees have all sorts of discussions about things like what Prabhupada said, how to apply it, etc. I think for the good of our movement, it's probably the most important thing we can establish. Okay, thank you very much. I will try to put the deities online if you give me your mercy. So, let's see, one minute. Radha Golokananda ki jai. Nam Hari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
Samapalate, the Brahma.
Yeah. Saparavitacharya, Olsateta, Satishi, Shiman, His Divine Grace, Abhayachatana, Bhaktivedanta, Goswami, Srila, Prabhupada ki jai, ISKCON, Founder, Acharya, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananda Goti, Vaishnava, Vrinda ki jai, Namacharya, Srila Huidas, Thakur ki jai, Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadha Shri Vasita Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopakapata Sayam Kun Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Maturidam Ki Jai Sekadatta Sami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Shrimati Talasi Dev Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaura Premananda Hari Hari. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So read the translation. My dear Lord, please be merciful to me, because who can be more merciful than your Lordship within these three worlds? Your incarnation is just to reclaim the conditioned fallen souls, but I assure you that you will not find a more fallen soul than me. Therefore, my claim is first. My dear Lord Nityananda, you are always joyful in spiritual bliss. Since you always appear very happy, I have come to you because I am most unhappy. If you kindly put your glance over me, I may also become happy. My dear Advaita Prabhu, husband of Sita, you are so kind, please be kind to me. If you are kind to me, naturally Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda will also be kind to me. I pray for the mercy of Sarup Damodar, the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Bhatta Raghunath Goswami, Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, and Lokanath Prabhu. I, Narottamadas, pray to the merciful Srinivas Acharya, and I always desire the company of Ramachandra, Narottamadas Thakur. So, we'll see if there's any questions online from anybody. Change this. Allow people to ask questions. Okay, does anyone have any questions? Nalini Khan?
Hare Krishna, Pandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Nalini Khan. I thought you would never ask a question. Anyway, so what's the question?
Gurudev, you were discussing about the focus of the preaching. So when we talk about Sunday feast or festival, so is there aim to give Sukruti to everybody and that's why we invite?
Yeah, Sunday feast is actually, make sure everyone's, yeah. Sunday feast, it's actually a little bit different as far as our focus. But we also should always be preaching pure devotional service. Like you see, Srila Prabhupada, we have to be careful at Sunday feast, not simply trying to appease the crowd so the people give big donations to the temple. Srila Prabhupada would always preach actually the highest principle even at the Sunday feast without agitating people. I mean, obviously, at the Sunday feast, we don't tell people you have to give up your families or something like that. You know, we preach according to the way Prabhupada did, but Prabhupada would always preach the highest principle. I think we should concentrate on that. Yeah, I think if we just try to water things down, then we end up with something that's not even Krishna conscious after a point. Okay?
Okay, Guru.
All right. I think we have to end now. So thank you all for joining us. And this will be available on YouTube in a little while and also Facebook permanently. Thank you very much. All glories to